So we've been talking about Easter, and I know that you all think that it was over with Easter, but there's a very important point that couldn't be made, because we just didn't have enough time about the relevance of Easter, especially the resurrection, especially about the disciples. How many of my disciples from last week do I have here? I only have two of my... You, but you claim your discipleship. That's beautiful. So it was only Samantha who was here that stood up as a disciple last week? I guess so. Oh, and Reverend Roger reluctantly goes, yes, me too. He had to do it for both the 9 and the 11 o'clock. And so we talked about moving forward, rising up, internally enjoying the Christ itself. The story that I'm going to talk about this time is how our disciples became apostles. And I know that in Bible and Christianity, apostles and disciples seem to be intermingled, like they're used for the same purposes. Here's the difference. An apostle, it said, is to anyone can be a disciple, excuse me, who has a teacher. A disciple is someone who learns from a teacher. And so Jesus had many disciples, actually. It said that he could have had hundreds of disciples. The difference between the power 12 and everyone else was that Jesus was training them to be apostles. And so what does it mean to be an apostle? That's why the Fillmores love the Jesus story. An apostle takes what they're taught, and then they move forward to teach others. Then they become teachers of the word. And so part of the story that we didn't get to, and the reason why the name of the title of the talk today is I Accept God's Commission, is because after Jesus was moved out of the tomb, as he rose out of the tomb, he came back. That's what we're going to talk about. What does it mean that Jesus came back and started talking to the disciples? And so the one thing I want to use as the example is the various Bible stories of the commission of God. I'm going to use actually all except one. We're going to talk about Matthew. We're going to talk about John, grab a little bit of John, and especially work on Mark. So when Jesus went to the 11 in Matthew 28. The disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, I make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always until the end of time." So I start with that one because the one thing that I love, and if you were with me throughout all the Easter, was that I said that there's several ways in which you can look at the Easter story. And I predominantly spoke about how the disciples were those elements, those functions, those faculties of Jesus himself. Because in unity, we don't worship the man, we worship the spiritualized man he became, the Christ. We don't even really worship, we become disciples. Usually unity is a discipleship to know the true meaning of our Christedness, to follow the footsteps of what Jesus tried to teach us and to try to learn them. And so Jesus, it's interesting that in this, before he truly ascended up to the heavens, of which we'll get to in a second, there was still doubt within his soul. If we continue to move forward with the analogy that the disciples were still aspects of Jesus, even though he is died, the angels have come and received him, within us all there's still doubt. Is this really true? How many times have we received miracles that we've eyed miracles for ourselves or others? And even in that instance, there's a disbelief. Has anyone else gone through that except for me? That's exactly what's going on here, that there's this still, there's this purity. The more we spiritualize ourselves, the more we go to church, the more we go through the self-help books, the more we do the things to cleanse and purify ourselves, the closer that we become to a continual process of living in heaven. But until we have that final realization, until we put the body down of sense consciousness, which is what Charles Fillmore calls it, all of our senses acting up and acting out, and us wanting to do the world, be in the world only with our senses, until we can lay that down and fully accept the Christedness, there will always be doubt. And so I just wanted to tell you that because still Jesus is the man. Jesus is being proclaimed here as a man, and he does not come up until he realizes that he can lay it all down, that his body is gone. He is no longer the man that he used to be. He can actually move forward and invite and be the truth of who he is, the truth that he actually knows that he is, which is part of the commission story in John. In John, he talks about the same thing. He comes to the disciples several times, and they don't believe him. In John, he walks through a door where the disciples are eating. He says, peace be with you. This is something that's really interesting because it's something that I talk about all the time. It's John 21 through 23. Jesus tells them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, being Jesus, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. So I use this because he talks and he's speaking directly to each and every one of us. Not just to himself. He's saying that, breathe in, that God and I are one. And he is spiritualizing each and every faculty within himself. That God is everywhere present, inward, outward, from head to toe. God is within me. And once I receive this, I also receive the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit, at least according to Unity, is the activity of God. Charles Fillmore defines the Holy Spirit as the executor, that which moves forward as the presence and the power of God. My dear hearts, this is the command that Jesus has given to the disciples. Go out. Go out. No longer look for me to be that ruling force. No longer look to me. I've been teaching you all this time. I've been teaching you while I was with you. I wasn't here teaching you how to be disciples. I was teaching you how to be apostles. I am moving you forward with a great commission, as it says, to move out onto the world. Accept it within yourself, and then move out and do great deals. That is the beauty of the commission of God. See, in Unity, there's a misnomer that people in Unity only think about healing self. And we do, because we realize that once we clear our thoughts, our consciousness, then what happens in here manifests out here. What happens in your mind, whether it's by accident, whether you're conscious of it or unconscious of it, most of us are unconscious of what's going on in here. So no blame, no shame. If things are happening in your life, no blame or shame, because we're usually unconscious about all the things that are coming up and through here, which is why I always say fearlessly, look into your mind. Look at what your thoughts are. Look at what you're consuming as ideas, because it will manifest outward. And so part of the manifestation is knowing that, consuming it and then doing it. Consuming the presence of God, knowing that you are the presence of God, and then showing up and showing out and showing that everyone else is. Because the reality is as special as each and every one of us are, the paradox is that because each and every one of us are special, none of us are special. But I like to say we're all special, yes? And it's ours to move forward. And for those people who don't know that they're special, to tell them that they are, to show them that they are, and to do what Jesus did, which is show by example exactly how it is done. That is why Charles and Myrtle Fillmore use the Jesus story. That's why they stand firm in the Jesus story, because everything that Jesus taught was everything that the disciples, all of his disciples, are everything he teaches us in word and deed. So here's the promise if you were to go to the next promise, which is of Mark. Jesus in Mark, in the commission story there, it's a little interesting because I use this one. I like to leave this one for last because this is the one that most Christian and Catholics slap us against and use as guilt. Truth. And you'll hear why when I read it. And then this is the one I want to use to metaphysically interpret, all right? So it goes that later, as the 11 were at table, he, being Jesus, appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. He said to them, being the disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." No, according to this translation, it is creature, not man, to everything that lives. Whoever believes, is baptized, will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will, one, drive out demons. Two, they will speak new languages or tongues, as the holy rollers say. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up unto heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through the accompanying signs. So you see why I said this is the one that really gets you. This is the one that if you talk to an evangelist, these are the words. If you the ones who like to speak in tongues and hold the serpents. And have you guys heard about the Christians who like get bitten, and if they die, you weren't a believer. Or if you didn't, then you truly were. This is the one that comes at you. But let me tell you, again, this is all about you, about me. This isn't about changing and being condemned. Here's the truth of the matter. This is all about believing. If you believe the truth of who you are and lay down everything else, then you will be raised to the greatest. And if you continue to believe in sense consciousness, if you continue to believe in the world as it is right now, and you run your life in the way the world is run right now, you will live in a hellacious world. That's all it's saying. That if you choose to be the truth of who you are, or you can choose to be the human, then life will end up that way. So it goes on further, the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the word. It is the doctrine that basically says that we are spirit. It tells us about the truth that we can surpass this earthly component. We are here to preach that we are more than mortal. We are here to preach to each and every person and model each and every person that the truth is as Jesus has commanded in at least two of the four doctrines, to go out and preach the good word, to go out and feed the truth to all of mankind. No, according to this, to all of creation, because we are one. We are supposed to preach this. And at some point in time, in this, he said, at one of these, it talked about the demon, that we are to drive out the demons. I know that in Unity, we don't really like to talk about demons here, because it conjures up something from our old school that we are taught that the devil is behind and the demon is back. The demon is only our sense consciousness. When you look at how the Fillmores metaphysically interpret, it's saying that when it says the things that you do when you come in my name, the signs will accompany these. You will drive out demons. You will drive out anything that is not of your great name. You will drive out the sense consciousness that drives you to do whatever it is to go against your truth. Whether it is an addiction to anything that is driving out an addiction, a demon. Whether it is your thoughts of lowliness, that is driving out the demon. Whatever it is that is not the truth of who you are, and you realize the truth of who you are is a spiritualized being. The truth of who you are is God, is Christ, is the Holy Spirit, all wrapped in one. We are the greatness of it all in this body. Then you can drive out everything. And the new language that you will speak is the language of a spiritualized person who only speaks the truth of God, does not rely on the truth of the tongue of any language, but of that of the Holy Spirit. You, it says that the demons will be moved out of you. The demons are parables. The demons are the aspects of you that no longer rely. And so who is the Lord? At the end it says, I will follow you. This is a misnomer because at the end of it, it says, the Lord Jesus. Not the man Jesus. Most Orthodox people believe I call on Jesus. We don't teach that. He clearly says it is the Lord. And so the Lord, who he has come to be, is the spiritualized I am. The Lord is another way of saying the Christ. And so what he's saying is that as I have ascended, as I have released and let go of all the negativity, all the sense consciousness, I command all of my apostles now to follow suit, no longer do the things that they were doing before, looking only to me. I don't know if you remember in one of my talks, I said something about the apostles, that Jesus became very angry because the disciples kept looking at him for all the answers to do everything. It took it until he died and was risen for them to finally get it. That all these great things to heal, to lay hands on and heal, to be able to speak in new tongues, to do everything that Jesus did, I also do, because Jesus said, this that I do, you will do the same. You will do more. It is about time that we move forward. It is about, yes, a word can be activism, but it's not just doing things, it's being. It's not just speaking the word, it's actually modeling and saying that, yes, I'm special, and recognizing that you're special, that we're all special. No matter what our mistakes are, no matter what our mistakes have been, that we all we have to do, all we need to do is release and let go and let God move in and through. And this world will be this world until we all understand that we are the beloved. We are the chosen ones. We are the sons and the daughters of God. And once we have all realized this, this world will no longer be this world. This world will be heaven here on earth. It's about time we move forward, cleanse ourselves off, purify ourselves, open ourselves up to spirit, and recognize who we are. We are the sons and daughters of God. And so it is. And with that, let us say our affirmation for this week. The denial and affirmation is, I transcend myself in all my affairs. Affirm, I am spirit. I transcend myself in all my affairs. I am spirit. Yes, you are. And so it is. Amen.